The bishops are a family of snugglers. Well, probably better put, we're a family of dog pilers. You see, anytime my girls, or the dog for that matter, are feeling anxious, they want to be as close as possible to one another. The dog will literally lay on my feet while I'm working at my desk in the office if there's a storm or a strong wind. My girls want to lay down on the couch, curled up under a few blankets, that in a way that makes them feel safe anytime they're stressed. Even my elusive 8-year-old, who is tough as nails, needs time on the couch a few times a week when the storms of life seem to well up, and she just touches everybody, right? That's the kind of comfort, though, that God offers us, that we see in Scripture, that while the storms of life continue, they're not taken away. We see that God is a mighty fortress or a hedge of protection. And so as we reflect on our scripture today, we will see the kind of kingdom values that God has set in place so that we might trust and take comfort in being in God's arms. Now, if you go back to last week, we talked about Jesus having kind of a strange guest list to his dinner party as we've been making our way through the meals of the Gospel of Luke. To say this another way, it's that there may be some unexpected characters invited to the kingdom of heaven. And this doesn't necessarily go over too well with the crowd who feels like they're already in. And so they grumble about what Jesus is doing, letting all those other people in. But we learned that no matter the grumbling of the crowd, there is a seat at this common table with Jesus for each and every one of us. Today's question is, what kind of dinner party or common table are we walking into or pulling up a chair at? And so today we have three portions of scripture that showcase some of the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, I know that there are a number of reasons people may, rightfully so in some ways, decline the invitation to be in relationship with or follow Jesus. Church hurt, the things that the church has done in the past, or the way that Christians that you know may not reflect what Jesus is offering, will make you want to avoid taking your seat at the common table. But I would ask that you make this journey with us today to see that the kingdom values humanity, humility, and availability. A kingdom that has these as some of the guiding principles is a table that I know that I want to be at, and I'm confident that you would want to be a part of too. So let's go, let's jump in. In our first pericope, or Bible scholar way of saying kind of a short snippet of scripture, we have Jesus going over to the house of a Pharisee. Now, Jesus has all the trappings of these Pharisees, these religious teachers, but he's not really playing the part well. He's fumbling all over his lines. And so while they're making up rules, Jesus seems to be rewriting some of them. You know, The Pharisees, the religious teachers, are trying to live in a way that assures them that they are in good standing with God. And one of their big rules was that you weren't supposed to work on the holy day, on Sabbath. And so they would ask, what counts as work? This is a great question. And the Pharisees devised 39 different categories of what does and doesn't count as work, and under what conditions they could be done on the Sabbath. And with all this going on, Jesus already messed this up about the working on the Sabbath thing 5 times. And so the Pharisees are watching him pretty closely when a man in pain comes up to Jesus in need of healing. Now, the law would say that Jesus has to wait a day. And so we know that a day would have felt like an eternity to this man. And Jesus knew it, and he prioritized people over the law. Now, in a number of places throughout scripture, we see Jesus expanding the law, and in other places he contracts it. Now, this passage of scripture is a great example of how he expands the law. And yet in another place, he says that if we look at another person with lust in our eyes, we have committed adultery. Why does he do this? Because Jesus knows that man wasn't made for the law, but rather that the law was made to bring out the best in us, showcasing where we fall down. And so every time that Jesus does this, he shifts the playing field away from the way that the Pharisees see it and does it in a way that says the kingdom of God values humanity over the rules. And so from this first passage of our scripture, we can rest assured that the kingdom of God values you and your humanity rather than trying to hide behind the bureaucracy of rules. And so now, in this second section of our scripture, we come to a place where it's time to take our places around the table. And there are some hard feelings about where people have to sit. Now, in this time, in the first century, it was thought that the table that this party would have been held at would have been in the shape of a U. And so the best spot would have been across from Jesus, the honored guest, because you wouldn't have to twist to see him. And Jesus' reaction to all of this was to talk about the upward and downward mobility of the table. If you're at the best spot, there's only one direction to go, and that's down. And that's embarrassing. While those at the bottom also only have one direction to go, but that's an act of honor to being brought up. In my mind, I think it's kind of like a game of Foursquare. You know, like if you start at the top spot, the king or queen, your next move eventually will be back down to the bottom. The point that Jesus is trying to make as this lesson unfolds before him is that the kingdom of God values humility over our own haughtiness. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to serve and not to be served. He washed the feet of his disciples and took the role of the lowly. Now, I learned this in my ministry when I was serving as an associate pastor. The senior pastor would always park in the furthest spot away. So during the week, she would park about halfway to three quarters up the parking lot because it wasn't totally full. And yet on the weekends, she would park in the back corner of the lot, walking further than anyone else. And I would park beside her because I was the junior guy. And so I just kind of followed suit until one day someone asked why she made that choice to park far away. And she made the comment that we clergy were there all morning. So taking a closer spot might save us a few steps, but that would mean that over the four different services over the weekend, others would have to walk even further. She knew what it was to be a servant leader. She knew what it was to take the place less desired. And so we see that in the kingdom. We see that the kingdom values humanity over rules and humility over haughtiness. And so now, as we turn to this last portion of our scripture, where Jesus tells a story of a great feast and a whole bunch of excuses, we see something else happen. And friends, let me tell you that there will always be an excuse that we can make up for not spending time at the common table with Jesus. And Jesus won't likely shame you or say anything. But that's Jesus. That doesn't mean that I won't do it, just a little at least. Because I fully believe that the table is richer when you are here, that the church is better when you are here. And one of the areas of my call story, my passion, is to show people that the church can be a place of redemption and hope, a place of connection and abundance. But it's hard to see that if we don't pull up our seat. And so in this last story, the people who are blessed by the meal are the ones who are available. Both those who come from the streets and the host are blessed. It doesn't matter that the guests couldn't repay the favor. That's not the point. They were available and willing to go out of their way to be present. There are times when we get angry because it doesn't seem like God is moving in our lives. And yet, we've made excuse after excuse as to why we can't be with God. The kingdom values availability. Jesus was made available to us and showed us what abundant life looked like. He offered hope and connection. And so the next time that there is a storm in your life, I would encourage you to pull up a chair and in some way rest in your master's arms. There you will find value in your humanity, honor in your humility, and abundance in your availability. And through that, we can see the ways in which God's kingdom is taking shape, not just in some future place, but here and now. Let's pray. God of grace and peace, we give you thanks for the way in which you value our humanity. You honor our humility, and you love when we are available to be with you, for we are both blessed. God of grace, keep us mindful of these values of your kingdom as we not only are invited into that table, but also make space and pull out a chair for our neighbor to take their seat, to have a kingdom that is made for hope and connection. God of grace, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.